Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we will be picking up in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, with a message entitled, Let's Forget About Ourselves, Magnify the Lord, and Worship Him. Now let's join Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
On a Sunday morning like this, when I'm going so in-depth on four words, I think the best thing to do more times than not is just jot down where I go. And then you can go check it out later, because I got a lot of meat to bring to you this morning, okay? That's why that prayer time doesn't count towards my sermon time, okay? The clock starts, and not even yet, actually. I haven't preached yet, just in a minute. The title of my message is, Let's Forget About Ourselves and Magnify the Lord and Worship Him. That I entered a contest this morning for who could have the biggest, longest title as a preacher in Rochester. I think I've won. And I wanted to shorten it, but I couldn't. It's an old Calvary Chapel song. How many of you guys remember it? Let's forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord and worship Him. And then the words just keep continuing, and then they talk about He's coming soon, right? And so I was thinking about this old song. And by the way, my allergies are so bad, my ears plugged, so I think I sounded magnificent. Even if I didn't, I really do. I mean, to me, I sound a lot like Louis Prima, actually, honestly. That's what I sound like to me. Anyways, I was thinking about, I don't title my messages right now till Sunday morning at like 6:30 as I'm just seeking God. God, what do you want me to share? Now, I knew I was going to just talk about these four words all week long, but I didn't know what I was going to do with them, because you'll see why. It's going to be so incredibly deep. But I was thinking about this song as I was preparing this message this morning, and that is an anthem of my life right now. God is teaching me how to forget about myself. I am so important to myself. Listen to this. Earlier in the week, I'll throw myself right under the bus, right at the get-go here. Earlier in the week, I said to Sean, I've been doing so many weddings and funerals. Every week it seems like there's just something. I constantly am doing things, and I only have one suit that fits. My black suit. So earlier in the week, I said to Sean, I need to get a new suit. It's not a want, I need to. I have to get a new suit. And I need a new pair of shoes. And I was like, you know, just a heads up, I got to do it soon here. And, you know, I got to get one that I know I'm going to wear and like, so it might be a little bit more, you know, expensive than some cheap suit on sale, but I'll wear it all the time, so I'll get my use out of it. So I just kind of prepped her for the whole thing. Not that she even cares, it just makes me feel better. So I told her that earlier in the week, I think it was Labor Day. And then on Tuesday, I go to get the mail, and I kid you not, Jesus confirmed to me that He wanted me to get a new suit. And that He wanted me to get new shoes, because there was a flyer in the mail for $20 off of $49 or more from a certain shoe store and $75 off of a certain suit store where I happen to like to get my suits from. That's confirmation, if I've ever received confirmation before, right? I think so. So, Thursday, Charlo's at school. My wife is schooling my older two daughters. And I go when I get my two-year-old Harper. And I say, it can't be that bad just running to the shoe store, because surely Jesus wants me to get shoes. And so I'm going to go with Harper to the shoe store. Now, I've never been to this specific shoe store before, and I didn't realize that every pair of shoes is out there. It's like a warehouse. Every pair of shoes is out there. Whatever size they're left, that's what's out there. So I go in, and I'm holding her, and I put my coupon right in my pocket, right in my left pocket. And I'm holding her, and I walk one aisle, and she's saying, I want to get down. And I'm saying, just wait 1 minute here. And then I go down a second aisle, still don't see. There was a specific pair of shoes that I really, really wanted, okay? And I knew it in my head. I'd never seen them in person before, but I knew what I wanted in my head. It's very masculine to like shoes, by the way. It's not weird that I like shoes the way that I do. So I'm walking down the second aisle, and I don't see him. And she's really like squirming, like throwing her body like down my leg. So I'm pulling her up and saying, kid, just hang on a second here, one more aisle. And so I walk down the third aisle, and there they are. The last pair, the only pair of shoes. And so I grab them, I pick them up. Thank you, Jesus, this was your will, obviously. I pick them up, and I'm continuing to walk down the aisle. And at this point, I put Harper down because I think I'm leaving the store. Well, that's what I thought I was leaving the store. I had the pair of shoes. So I continue to walk down the aisle, and all of a sudden, I spot these other shoes that I had never seen before. So I thought, well, just in case these shoes look better than these shoes do, I didn't even try these ones on, I thought I'll just try both of these on for a minute. So I take that box down, this box down, put them on, and I start to kind of just check out the shoes. Like, I don't know, which ones do I like better here? Where's Shauna when I need her? And I'm going through this old rigmarole. And then all of a sudden, I turn around, and there is Harper ripping boxes off the shelf, pulling paper out, shredding the paper. I mean, just totally demonic, her behavior. Just shoes everywhere. Things are a mess. So I'm starting to get flustered. I got my shoes are over there. I got this shoe on here, the shoe I wanted on this foot over here. And I'm going to pick up these boxes, and I'm cleaning the thing up, and she goes to the other box and starts doing this whole thing. So now I'm just trying to put everything back together. And you guys get where I'm going with this, right? I mean, this is crazy. So I'll just try to rush this story here. So as I'm doing this now, I'm cleaning up the mess. I still don't have my shoes, and I just want to get my shoes on, get my daughter, and get out of there. And at this point, she says, Daddy, I want gum. I want gum. Yeah, kid, get whatever you can get it out of my pocket. Just get it. Let's go. Let's do this thing. She gets her gum. I get my shoes. I put all the other shoes back on the shelf, and I get to the register. And now it's like really close to 11 o'clock, and I got to be like 30 minutes away to get my son from school. And I'm thinking, I'm cutting this thing so close. So I get to the register, and the lady's like, yeah. She's like, what's your email or what's your address? She starts going through this whole thing. And I say, well, why do you need that? And she goes, well, I want to look something up to send you points or whatever they do at these stores. And I think, I don't want points. I just want my shoes. And I'll just give you my coupon. I just want the shoes. I don't care about the points. I never even come here. And she goes, okay, well, where's your coupon? So I reach in my pocket, and my coupon is not there. It's gone. And so I said, well, my coupon isn't here, but I had my coupon when I walked in. She goes, well, if you give me your email, I can look up your coupon. So I give her my email, and she says, Nicoletta Tommaso? And I said, no, ma'am, my name's Dave Tom. Why would it be Nicoletta Tommaso here? I mean, this is what's going on. In the meantime, Harper's taking down nail polish. I don't even know why they do that at the registers. They put nail polish, all of these things. The lady is going over this whole thing. And we find it's like, just ma'am, you know what? Just forget the coupon. I don't even need the shoes. Just leave it here and don't worry about it. She goes, well, just give me your name and your number and I'll call you if we find the coupon. And this whole thing, and I'm thinking, had I just forgotten about myself and bought my wife's shoes with the coupon, I would have never even been in this mess. Right? But I didn't forget about myself. I thought of myself. I never even thought about buying my wife a pair of shoes there. And that's why I was even in this predicament. Well, I don't know if you're waiting for a punchline. There isn't one. You're all looking at me like, that's it? Yeah, that's it. It was a very frustrating day. I needed to vent about it. And I'm thankful for your ears. What ended up happening is they found the coupon in one of the shredded paper boxes. They called me back, and I went and got the shoes. So that's how that whole thing happened. But had I forgotten about myself, I would never even been in that mess before. It's not a ridiculous story. It's a good story. You guys just aren't awake yet. We need to forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord, and worship Him. It's interesting to me. Well, let's do this. Let's read the Lord's Prayer in totality, and then we'll go through it here, okay? Let's read it out loud together, beginning at the word R there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so this is a very interesting portion of scriptures. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. He's teaching them that what you have seen via prayer through the religious leaders has been wrong. It has been faulty in the way that these folks have prayed. They are not doing it rightly. They're not doing it correctly. And that they're doing it for show. And that they're doing it for recognition and man's applause. That's not how you're supposed to pray. This is a template as to how you're praying. This is a flavor or a formula. Not that we're to mimic this prayer every time we pray, but this is the way that God wants you to approach Him. And he's very specific here. He's very deliberate. He'll repeat this prayer, essentially, in about 2 years from this time in Luke chapter 11 to his disciples, when they again say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So this is something dynamic here. It's a special piece of scripture. And the Lord is saying this to us. When we come to him because he's, first of all, our Father. Now, we've already studied this. This is our third week on this prayer. We've already talked about it. The only people that could really have the ear of God are his children. And the only way, and this is just a quick recap, the only way that you could be his child is through adoption. And we are only adopted through accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Lord and Savior. So we pray to the Father through Jesus Christ alone. Okay? As his sons and his daughters. That is an exclusive privilege of children of God. So our Father, whose Father? Those who are in Christ. Our Father, and then we talked about last week, which are in heaven. We talked about how magnificent and how powerful and majestic our dad is, right? We went through that last week in great detail. We talked about how not only does he have this overwhelming love for us as a dad, but he also has this insane power as a dad, because our dad is in heaven. Okay? That's what we've looked at so far. But now we come to this place where it's interesting to me. I feel like essentially he's saying, hey, let's just forget about ourselves when we pray, because he says, the first thing I want you to do in your prayer is praise. After you address the one that you're talking to, I don't want you to get right into your stress and your life and your problems and your needs. I want you to go into a time of praise. I mean, that's what I see here. I want you to have attached to your prayer life a time of praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or your name. I want you to go into this time of just understanding that I am different than anyone else. I want you to go into this time, listen, I'm going to describe to you the word hallowed, because I don't think many people use that word in our culture. The word hallowed here means this, it means to be sanctified, which means to be set apart or set aside. It means something that is completely different. It's something that's to be recognized and acknowledged as, whoa, we got something unique here. That's what Jesus is saying. When you pray, you're talking to your dad who is in heaven. And when you talk to your dad who is in heaven, stop. Slow your roll. Slow your tongue. Slow your babbling, if you would, and consider his greatness. Slow down in your prayer life and meditate and chew upon the one that you are talking to, and take a minute to bless him. This is convicting. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and go into a time of worshiping him. When? When the band is here and we're singing before sermon? No, when you pray. When you pray. Because if you're anything like me, when you begin to pray, you go right into what you've got going on. It's like, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Now, Lord, I need this and I need that. And God, would you help me here? Would you help me there? Thank you, Lord. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father that is in heaven, hallowed. You are separate. You are distinct. You are unique in your person than anyone I've ever met or known. Bless you for it, God. Hallowed be thy name. It's very interesting here. Now, what I want to do is go into a time of talking to you about his name. For some of you, this will be redundant. For some of you, this will be superfluous. For some of you, this might even be just, I know this so well, I don't need to know it again. But you do. You need to be reminded of it. And for some of you, this will be brand new. But I can't tell people to worship somebody they don't understand who he really is. I can't expect you all to say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. When I pray, I'll stop and I'll start hallowing his name if you don't understand what his name is and what it represents. We got to sort of flip the verse here and work our ways backwards in understanding this whole thing, because before we hallow something, we have to understand what it is that we're hallowing to do it. He says, hallow his name. Hallow the Father's name. His name, understand this, essentially stands for God himself. That's what his name is. His name describes his nature. Understand that this morning, because he's saying here, hallow his name. You can't think of it in separation of his essence, his character, his attributes, his being. His name is who he is. That's what the Bible teaches to us. You look at Exodus chapter 32. You don't have to turn. You can listen. I'll go there real quickly. In Exodus chapter 32, actually, let me go to chapter 34. The Lord, he descends in a cloud and he stands before Moses, and it says that he proclaims the name of the Lord to Moses. When Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. I think he's trying to see something insane to the eye, but instead the Lord professes his name to him. He stands before him and he says this in verse 6 of Exodus 34. He says this, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and listen, and forgiving sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. And it says that after Moses hears these things, he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped God there. Why? Because he heard his name, that he's merciful, that he's gracious, that he's long-suffering, that he's forgiving. His name was manifested to him. When Moses earlier on in his life would ask God, who shall I say sent me to the children of Israel? And they say, you know, who commissioned you? When I go to tell them that I'm going to let them go from Pharaoh, what do I say? God said, tell them that you were commissioned or sent by I Am. That's my name. Wait a minute, your name is I Am? Yeah, my name is I Am. Tell them I Am that I Am has sent you. In other words, distinguishing himself from all the other false gods that I am not. I am and they are I am not, because they can't do what I can do. And over and over and over and over again, God would show that as Moses would stand before Pharaoh and face off against the magicians and those who were into demonic presence and spirits as they would be challenged by him. I am versus I am not gods. Very important to understand as we think about his name. There are points to his perfection and his eternity when we think of his name. Listen, he didn't have a creation. There's no beginning or end to him. He's completely self-existent, self-fulfilled. There's like he's like nobody in need of nothing. He sustains the whole universe, the scriptures teach us, by the words of his mouth, which is insane. The words of his mouth have such power. He's the God of limitless life and power. All of his promises he fulfills. This is all part of his name, his nature. When the Jews would refer to him and talk about him, this is one thing that they had right. They wouldn't even call him by his name. They didn't know how to say his name. They just said the name in reference to God. That's what they did. They said the name in reference to God. They did not even know how to pronounce his name properly because they did not want to take his name casually. YHWH. No vowels there. It's not a word. They didn't even know how to pronounce it because they didn't want to misuse it or abuse it. The name of God. They understood the weightiness to it, the importance of it. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, his name is described in these ways. First off, as El or Elohim, which means this, his strength or his power. Then we hear him refer to himself as Jehovah, which means self-existent one. Self-existent one. What does that even mean? He exists by himself. None of you can claim that here today. Nobody in the universe can claim that, that they exist by their self and they're sustained by their self. He is the self-existent, self-eternal God. Jehovah Jireh, he reveals himself as. We call him God. That's not his name, that's his title. His name. Hallowed be thy name. This is his name, the scripture says. Jehovah Jireh, which means this, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nisi, which means that he's the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, which means he's the Lord our peace. Jehovah Ra, which means he's the Lord our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, we love that psalm. That's where it comes from, Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Tiskenu, which means he's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord's present. Jehovah Yeshua in the New Testament, which means the Lord has become our salvation, Jesus Christ. I mean, the name of, listen, hallowed be your name. Oh, well, he's my healer. He's my righteousness. He's my banner. This is who he is. No wonder why I'm getting in awe of his name. He's self-existent. He's self-eternal. He's self-sustained. He's creator God. He speaks things into existence. Absolutely. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let there be light. And he said, and he spoke, and he said, and he spoke. That's Jesus Christ. This is who our God is. This is what the Bible teaches of his name. It's all that's true of God. Listen, I don't normally do this. I don't normally use notes like this. I'm doing it because I want you to hear very clearly and precisely who he is. Listen to this. All that is true of God is wrapped up in his name. You start to understand that, you're going to hallow his name in your prayer life. Hallow his name because all that is true of God is contained in his name. All that's been revealed concerning him is found in his name. God and all of his attributes. God and all that he is in and of himself. All that God is in and of himself is found in his name. All that he is in and of himself doesn't need anybody's help. who he is, all that he's done, and all that he's still doing even today is described and wrapped up in his name. And if we understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we read scriptures that tell us of his names of old, because he's the Ancient of Days, then we're very encouraged in the present. If I need healing, if I need a banner waved over me because I'm losing in this war, it seems, if I feel so unworthy and wretched, I understand that he's my righteousness today like he was then. I'm very encouraged by his name. This is what the scripture is supposed to do to us. There is no yin and yang to God. There is no good and bad to God. Listen, he's magnificent and holy. Do you know that holiness is the most talked about attribute of God in all of scripture? Holy. You know what holy means? Separate, distinct, unique. From anything else, there's no one else, nothing else like it. He's holy. Amazing to me. Different than us. So different than us. God is nothing like us. His ways are high above ours. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. He's always, only, continually good. When you understand that he's holy God. And when you understand that, you want to worship him and you want to trust him with your prayers. If I stop for a minute and I say this, our Father which art in heaven. Some of you get lost because you think this, my dad stinks. Or my dad stunk when he was here on this earth. He was a terrible father. If this is what a dad is, if this is what God is, he's like a dad. I didn't even have a dad or he's a terrible. I mean, you can get lost at that. But if you keep reading, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It qualifies the statement. It reminds me, wait a minute, this dad is holy. This dad is always, only, continuously good. This dad is distinct in his nature. He's different than anyone that I have ever known before. Now all of a sudden it breaks barriers down. Now all of a sudden there is trust that is built in me to continue on with my prayers and my requests. This is the first of requests. Father, hallow your name. I mean, we want to flip-flop this prayer. We want to get to give us this day our daily bread. We want to get to forgive us of our debts. We want to ask God for help with drinking problems and drug problems and pornography and sexual sin. And
that concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.